The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and we are officially 4 weeks out, 28 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. We are now into draft month. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the draft show presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. It is mock draft day. 1 month out, that's usually when we do our first round mock draft. We will go through all 32 picks in the first round. And we will have them all split up. We've got Aisha Morrison, Nick Harris, who will join us very shortly. Had a meeting that went a little bit long. He's coming just from across the way. Big 12 Pro Day across the day, away as well. We've got Zach Wolchek, Brian Broaddus, and then myself, Kyle Yeomans, Chris Beam in the back. 4 weeks away, Brian. What does that mean if you're a scout across the way looking at really the task ahead of you?
Yeah, we've kind of touched on it before in some previous shows of you're getting close to the pro days being finished. Yep. Yesterday we had LSU, the best university in the country, their pro day with all the best players in the country that were, and I'll pick every single one of them today in our mock draft. But no,
except for that one interior defensive lineman,
Smith.
Right? Yeah, except for Mason Smith.
Yeah, we had a little
poor Mason Smith.
But yeah, we're finishing up pro days. Once you finish up the pro days, you're going to get all the scouts in the building. The great thing about being in this building is you also have the ability to have a Big 12 pro day right outside your door. So good for the Cowboys and good for everybody in town taking a part of that. Hats off to the Big 12 for putting this all together, and hats off to the NFL for allowing it to happen the way that it is. But, yeah, we're getting to the point now where we're getting close to – medical information's in, workout information's in, and now we're going to put a board together. And that's what you'll see in the month of April leading up to the draft. So a very exciting time for scouts. A little bit of a nervous time. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that the guys that you saw during the year, you have your thoughts organized. You got to know when to fight. You got to know when to back up. You got to know when to read the room. There's a lot of things that you have to as a scout. There's a responsibility you have to the team. You have to put your ego aside. You have to, you have to be willing to fight when necessary. But it's a very exciting time when you get to do this job.
It is exciting, and it's coming up quick. It really is. 4 weeks is going to blow by.
Yeah.
It's going to be a snap of the finger, and then we're going to be right back here in this room getting you ready for draft day night one. So we're going to roll through draft day night one. This is the current order, 1 through 32. Of course, we are going to take previous trades into account. No trades today. Sorry, Zach Wolchek.
I know. I was really trying to wheel and deal here today. Boys,
sorry, not going
to
happen. No trades today. Just 1 through 32.
I got so made fun of over this.
Yeah, you did.
Honestly.
I'm so tired.
I kind of tabbed you as the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not calling
not gonna
you.
Not going to call.
You know what? That's fine. Don't call me. I'll just Ozzie Newsome you and take all the good flaps.
That's usually the way it works.
Fine with me.
Yeah. Gotta love it. So here's how we're going to start things off. It goes in this order. We have split up the picks 1 through 5. So it's Aisha, Nick, Zach, Brian, and then myself in that order, and then we will rotate through. So Aisha has picks 1, 6, 11, so on and so forth, and then Nick has 2, 7, so on and so forth. So Aisha, I'll let you start things off. The number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft will be?
Caleb Williams.
There we go.
USC.
That's probably the easiest one.
That is a stunner.
Wow.
I am shocked. Caleb Williams, number one? No, that was easy.
Yeah. Nick texted me, said, hey, don't mess this up.
He said that.
There's a lot of pressure.
He texted you last night.
No, he literally was just like, don't overthink it, homie.
Please just pick Caleb Williams.
Please. And just pick the man and get it over.
So the Bears select Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. Any debate there? Probably
no debate. But if and Aisha made a really nice pick for the Bears, and that's where, the Bears, if you look at team needs, quarterback, edge, wide receiver, We'll kind of dive into these. The Bears have they have the ninth pick as well, so something to think about. But on a lot of people's board, the best player, the best quarterback. But here's the Chicago Bears once again. This is the third time that they get to draft potentially a franchise quarterback. They missed with Mitch Trubisky. Mm. They missed with Fields. And now here we are with Caleb Williams. So if you're a Bears fan, you have to be kind of like, please let this be the right one.
Yes, they're
building team the right way. Ryan Poles, the general manager there. But, this is going to get their draft started the right way.
Is it a development thing, or are they just bad at picking?
I think there's some development questions there.
Okay, because that's how I feel about some of these teams is like, I'm never gonna put it all on the player.
Situation matters a lot. I think they've put Caleb Williams in a good position here where there's some talent around him. They're trying to build that offensive lineup. Maybe at nine they circle back and get another wide receiver. We'll have to see how this plays out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So you could say the same thing about the team that's up next. And this, of course, pick number one, no debate. It's most likely and should be Caleb Williams out of USC. This is where the debate begins. Which franchise quarterback, if it is a franchise quarterback, should Washington take a stab at? Is it guys like Drake May from North Carolina, Jaden Daniels from LSU, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan? Nick Harris has this pick, but I'm actually going to give it to Brian. I'm going to let Brian pick number two with the Washington Commanders. But I want you to tell me why, because there's a lot of ways that Washington and Dan Quinn can go in this election.
Yeah, there is a lot of ways that you can absolutely go with this when you start to talk about the Commanders. They were super active in free agency, which I think was something they had to do. They had a lot of cap room, so they didn't spend a lot of money on one particular player. They kind of spread this thing out. So the hope is to get enough players around this quarterback, whoever they select, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, they want to try and find a way. They have to change the culture there. Dan Quinn is big about the culture. We all know Dan Quinn. We appreciate, we respect Dan Quinn. He's going to do things the right way. They have to fix their defense, but the quarterback, that's something and I don't know about you guys, I always felt like the Commanders were a team that were a quarterback away, and then their defense played terribly last year.
Yes.
So, you're thinking like, if they had the quarterback, this would be a defensive pick.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a quarterback, and, they really did they just need to find that guy. And so if you're going to give me this pick, I'm going to take Daniels, the quarterback from LSU, is who I'm going to take here.
You thought the same thing?
Any disagreement there? Or?
No, I mean, I think Daniels is the number two guy.
I think he's the number two guy.
I love him. I mean, the talent that he has, the ability to create. But I think sometimes you look at a player like that and you think like, okay, is he just a runner? When you watch Jaden Daniels play, his ability to navigate the pocket, keep his eyes downfield, I think the arm talent is there. He can make all the throws for you. Jaden Daniels is a special player, and really the sky is the limit. For him with a Cliff Kingsbury type of offensive coordinator, that's scary for the rest of the NFC East. That could really hit and be a home run type of selection. The one thing he's going to need to figure out, and we've talked about this, Brian, he needs to take care of his body. Yeah. He took some vicious shots. There's times where instead of cutting up field, maybe just go ahead and get out of bounds, Jaden Daniels. But he has a rare dual threat ability when it comes to being a difference maker with his legs, but he's also got phenomenal arm talent.
Right.
I really like Drake May a lot.
Sure.
I think Drake May is probably my number two quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. Do I think he fits with Washington? Maybe not. I think the way that they've set things up in that organization, they need somebody that can be mobile with his legs. And Drake May is not that guy.
Right.
He can be a mobile quarterback if you want him to run outside of the pocket, but he's not going to make plays with his legs the same way that Jaden Daniels does. I think Drake May would probably fit in any of these next three or four teams that probably need a quarterback because he's more of a pro-style ready guy. But Jaden Daniels fitting with the Commanders, I think, does fit very well at that number two spot, even though he's my number three quarterback overall as opposed to my number two.
Yeah, if they weren't able to, if they didn't go, if Brian didn't go quarterback, if they didn't choose a quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to go tackle.
Sure.
Because, again, like we saw Sam Howell be the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last year, just getting his tail rocked every single time he dropped back. And
that's kind of why I think Jaden Daniels works there, because they don't have have a very good offensive
line. And they released
line.
Charles Long Jr. as well, so who's their starting tackle. So they're in need for a tackle as well. So,
there you go. So Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, 1-2 quarterback. Do the Patriots go quarterback at 3, Zach Wilcher?
Yeah, Patriots here are very upset that Jaden Daniels is off the board. I think he would be their guy if he were there. They love them some. Jaden Daniels was trying to talk with some folks over there to try and make an educated selection here. I think with Jaden Daniels off the board, they might be taking calls, whether it's Minnesota. They could be looking to go back and try and acquire some extra picks. The fact that we're not doing trades here, I think they stay locked in. They've made some moves this offseason. They brought in a Jacoby Brissett to where maybe they don't have to play this quarterback right away. They can let him develop. They need a quarterback. They need a receiver. You name it. The Patriots need it.
Offensive tackle.
Offensive tackle, edge, tight end they love. But I'm going to put Drake May here. I think they might have some questions about, you know, is this a guy that, when it comes to the leadership, some of those intangible traits might be some of the reasons where people in that building are a little split on Drake May. But I think he's the third best quarterback. They're in need of one. I think that's the right pick here for the Patriots.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic point about Jacoby Brissett being there. They kind of it's not as much pressure to go get a quarterback, but I do see them. There's some rumblings that they're definitely looking at.
I know Robert Kraft wants one.
Yeah, but they were heavy, heavy at LSU's pro day.
Yeah.
They do love them some Jaden Daniels. If he's there, Daniels will be their pick. I'm pretty confident in that.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel there's just quickly on a couple of things. If you mention it, if you do get the trade back there, keep an eye on that. We mentioned wide receiver, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Clearly, Elliott Wolf. We've all saw New England come here last year. They're very talent poor right now. Trading, getting picks would be something they would probably entertain.
Yeah. So at 4... Three quarterbacks are the top three picks. The Cardinals are now sitting there at 4, Brian. They have, of course, Kyler Murray under contract. Do they even entertain a J.J. McCarthy there, or are they looking elsewhere and this is going to be the first position player off the board?
Yeah, I think to me this is where when you look at the Cardinals, you know, they're very talent poor when it comes to wide receiver. They've got to find a way. Even though here's a team that beat the Cowboys last year, they did a great job of scheming. But Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Trey McBride, those are the names you're playing with right now. So, you know, that's linebackers a concern there, cornerbacks a concern there. But I think if you're the Arizona Cardinals here, I personally like Neighbors from LSU as the wide receiver here. But I think they would go Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State would be their pick there.
Wow.
There you go. And it's funny, the Chargers, same sort of thing. You're looking at their depth chart, and they drafted Quentin Johnston with their first pick last year. But outside of that, it's Joshua Palmer, Darius Davis, and Simi Fehoko, who you know very well. So if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not the pick with the Cardinals at 4, he would very likely be the pick for L.A. at 5. I think if either way, L.A. is going with a wide receiver in this scenario. They have to find some sort of weaponry to put around Justin Herbert. No more Keenan Allen. No more Mike Williams. Your tight end position is pretty thin, too. You went out and you signed Hayden Hurst this past offseason. Will Disley comes over from Seattle. You got to find somebody to throw the football to. So they're going to take Malik Nabers, wide receiver, out of LSU at the 5th pick overall.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh.
Jim.
I'll get my Harbaughs correct. At the owners' meeting, he was talking about the importance of offensive linemen, though, too.
He loves his offensive line.
Yeah. And so, you know, would this be somewhere where they would consider Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame? He's the tackle, the number one tackle on a lot of folks' board.
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver, there was just a – They've got to get better. They've got to try and help Justin Herbert there.
They do.
Well, and Malik Nabers, too, when you're looking at what he could bring, like you say, he could be the number one wide receiver on some teams' boards, Marvin Harrison.
His pro day.
Phenomenal.
His pro day was great.
He's pushing it.
It's really the after the catch
exactly.
that sets him apart there. But I wouldn't be surprised if even a Fuaga was in play there for the Chargers.
Wow.
They could use a right tackle.
And yes,
it was just interesting listening to Harbaugh talk about the importance of the offensive line.
Yeah.
He and his time with San Francisco, he spent a lot of resources on the offensive line.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. All right, Aisha, you're up. Pick number 6 with the New York Giants.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to look at what I felt like they needed. And they have some ties, interesting enough. Like, they've had some ties to Drake May. They lost Saquon Barkley, running back. They lost Xavier McKinney, safety. There was some interest in Joe Alt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Joe Alt. If he's not off this board yet, he's definitely going to be their guy. That they were a little down on Evan Neal and some of the production they've got there. Now, they do have – is it Thomas on the other side, left tackle?
Yes. Andrew Thomas.
And he's solid, but I do think they might want to improve at the tackle position and see what they can get there. So let's go Joe Alt. Notre Dame.
I like the pick. I mean, Joe Alt, yeah. I can see he's the top offensive tackle for most people, the athleticism. I do think they'll have a conversation, unless it's just one of these, you know, draft rumor whispers, smoke screens that isn't true. But they seem to be interested in J.J. McCarthy as well.
All right. Nick Harris is in the building, everybody. Welcome to the show, Mr. Nick Harris. Just in time.
I'm sorry, we had to do your picks for you. It's They're probably not as good as what
you. You know, I trust in my war room to get the judge.
We got
you,
buddy. I mean, this is a hell of a day for you. We got freaking pro day combine deal going over next door. This is
today
amazing.
Is a very wild day for me. But yeah, absolutely. Where are we at?
We're at pick number 7.
Okay, I figured
you're on the clock with the Tennessee
Joe
Titans.
Alt, so I hoped it was the Titans there.
Yeah, no, Joe
no,
Alt
it wasn't.
It was Joe Alt went to the Giants.
Okay,
at pick number 6.
That's tough if I am the Titans. Interesting.
Here are the names that are off the board, just to help you out. Yep. Caleb Williams went first, quarterback USC, first overall to the Bears. Commanders took Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, number 2. Number 3 was Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina. Marvin Harrison Jr. was picked number 4 to the Cardinals out of Ohio State. Malik Nabers was gone. LSU goes to the Chargers. And then offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame goes to the Giants at pick number 6 to reset the board for you. Now on the clock with the Tennessee Titans at number 7.
You're right, though. They do need somebody to protect Will Levis.
Yeah, they do. They need a tackle. You also wonder if they want if Joe Alt's not there, that they want competition with Will Levis, with McCarthy still on the board. I think I'm going to go Talisi Fuaga here, though. I think that's a safe pick to throw in at tackle. I mean, just to have the combination of an elite tackle at 7 with Peter Skoronski, I mean, that would be huge. So give me Talisi Fuaga.
So Fuaga off the board. I mean, Olu Fashanu from Penn State still available, but two of the top tackles off the board as we go to Zach and the Falcons at number 8.
Yeah, the Falcons here, everybody wants to mock them an edge. That seems to be the sexy pick. Now, they did make some moves this offseason when it comes to helping out the secondary a little bit. We know, obviously, the Kirk Cousins addition is a big one for them. I do think corner could be in play here as well. Atarian Arnold from Alabama would be interesting. Dallas Turner is the sexy pick. I am not a Dallas Turner guy. I wouldn't take him this high. I'm going to give them the best all-around edge just because I wonder where teams have Laitu Latu. And that might be – Latu, I wouldn't be shocked if night one – it's Joey Porter Jr. style. He doesn't go in the first round because of the medicals. I think a lot of teams are going to be scared about Latu. He's my top edge. I'm going to give him Jared Verse out of Florida State.
There you go.
Best well-rounded edge when it comes to playing the run, also getting after the quarterback. I've got him graded higher than Dallas Turner, so I'm going to go Jared Verse there.
Okay.
There's some ties there, too. I think they had him on he's going to be a 30 visit. So, yeah, that's a good pick.
So yeah,
edge
clearly, yeah.
They need edge bad.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Falcons were one of those teams, Aisha, that last year they were a top 10 defense, you know, and they just couldn't figure out the quarterback situation, and now they go out and get Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, adding defensive pieces, though, always a good thing for them.
Yeah.
Brian, you're on the clock. The Bears at number 9, their second pick of this first round.
Yeah, with the Chicago Bears, and we grabbed the quarterback with the first pick. We're grateful that Turner wasn't taken. So we're going to take Turner, the edge from Alabama, with our 9th pick is what we're going to do.
Nice. Wow. There you go. So back-to-back, it's 3 straight quarterbacks, then 2 straight wide receivers, then 2 straight offensive tackles, now 2 straight edges going to pick number 10 with the Jets on the board. I'll roll through this one quickly. This is going to be Fashanu, Penn State.
Okay.
He's going to be their offensive tackle in the future. He's going to help protect Aaron Rodgers in his not-so-great Achilles moving forward. But still, he's somebody that needs protection, and the Jets are going to go out and do that. And he's going to probably play right tackle, I'm assuming, while Tyron Smith's at left tackle, and then they'll probably move him over at left tackle.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Tyron Smith misses seven games.
Yeah, it definitely creeped on the Jets folks and some of their draft content. And even though they're excited to have Tyron, they sound like us. They're like, but if maybe, if, when, I'm not sure if he's going to, you know, stay.
And they're desperate to find that right tackle. Yes, they have tried, and they have failed as well. We talked about the Bears and quarterbacks. Jets have struggled with offensive tackle, too.
Well, you've talked about this before, Brian. When you have a surplus of one position, go ahead and grab another.
Yeah, that's something I learned in Green Bay. If you feel like you're really good at a position, go ahead and grab another guy, too. Kind of it always pays off for you at the end.
No doubt. All right. Now it's back to Aisha on the board at number 11. We're going to go to pick 15 before we take our first break. So, Aisha, you're on the board.
Oh, it's easy for me. They lost their linebacker, lost their quarterback. They've been going through it over there. I'm going to go if Drake May's still on the board. I think they go Drake May.
No,
McCarthy's still on the board.
May went to the Patriots.
Penix is on the board. McCarthy's on the board. Nix is on the board.
So they'll go J.J. McCarthy. They definitely earn.
At
this point, what are we talking about?
Yeah, they definitely
have to get a quarterback. Apologize for that.
No problem.
Do you think they're happy with J.J. McCarthy at that spot at number 11? Or, I mean, you were trying to trade this pick last night.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard two things. May, I think that they do like a lot. I think they'd be trying to move up to three or four to go get one of these dudes. But I think that they do like J.J. McCarthy as well. But, you know, it was interesting. Their head coach, Kevin O'Connell, he was talking about Michael Penix a little bit.
Yes.
He talked about the accuracy.
Yeah.
Mm. Penix could be a sneaky guy that's in play there for Minnesota. I wonder if they're kind of hiding how much they really like him.
I wrote that down with a question mark because I did listen to that as well. And, you know, coaches, especially during this time, if they're saying things, you can pick up on little hints of, like, what they're really
liking. He mentions accuracy, and who's the guy that pops out to us? It's probably Michael Penix Jr. with that deep ball accuracy, which is rare.
So then you've got the Broncos at 12, Nick Harris on the board.
They probably ain't traded up by now. They ain't got no.
They don't want to weigh it at all.
So in my first mock draft that I put on DallasCowboys.com, y'all can go check that out. I had kind of a interesting trade here at 12 for the Eagles to jump up and take Quinyon Mitchell. Just go ahead and solidify really good secondary help. We're not doing any trades here, but I thought that was an interesting one to where the Broncos could slide back to 22 and still grab Bo Nix because I just feel like Bo Nix is such a perfect fit for Sean Payton and the quarterbacks that he's developed over his time. So I'm going to take we're not doing a trade back scenarios here. So at 12, I'm going to go Bo Nix just because that quarterback room as of now is Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci.
They have no one.
And so they need some help. I'm not the biggest Bo Nix believer.
That's what's shocking to me about this.
But
is you're taking him at 12.
I think it fits for the Broncos. I think it fits for the Broncos completely.
So I'm like, we're here. Okay, cool.
If Sean
cool.
Payton's doing it, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We know he's got an eye for quarterback, but goodness gracious, I would not be taking Bo Nix.
With Penix on the board, I would have questioned that one. But, you know, knowing Sean, I think you've got him nailed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sean really likes McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a guy that he would love to you know. I know I've talked to him about these quarterbacks and stuff. He really likes McCarthy. He didn't give me an indication one way or another where he was going. But that's an interesting pick with Penix on the board.
Yeah.
That for him. But you're doing what you think they might do, and that's okay.
It also wouldn't surprise me if they wait till day two or day three to grab a quarterback to throw in that room and then go ahead and draft Roma Dunze at 12.
Yeah.
That would also be a legitimate option just because whoever that rookie quarterback is, they have a legit WR1 ready to go.
Sure.
So.
Respectfully, the Raiders are not complaining about Penix being on the board.
No.
Whoever has the next pick, go ahead. I'm not going to.
See, here's the thing, though. We've talked about this before. The Raiders are as liable as anybody when it comes to the most outlandish pick ever. But this is ready made for the Las Vegas Raiders, right?
It is. It's ready made for them to take Xavier Worthy.
You make me so sick.
The speed, baby. And honestly, that would not shock me if the Raiders did that. They would be all over the speed. I do think offensive tackle is interesting with a guy like J.C. Latham there right now. I think would be in play, but I think they're going to start to panic here with Bo Nix having just been taken. Mm-hmm. They do need a quarterback. I would have probably gone offensive tackle if we didn't have a run here. But I'm going to give them Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. They need a quarterback, and right now he's the last top one for me out of the four guys. So I think the Raiders just pull the trigger here, and you take the guy to Washington.
Goodness, six quarterbacks in the first 13 picks.
That's wild.
And I can't believe Roma Dunze has slid to 14.
Yes, that's the thing, is you've had Harrison Jr. and Neighbors off the board as a wide receiver, and that's it. And then offensive tackle, Fuaga Alt Fashanu are off the board.
That's
so
wild.
Now you got the Saints coming up at pick 14. Brian, what you doing?
I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints right now, and they're kind of in a situation. The Saints are always one of these teams that's super, super aggressive in the way that they want to approach the draft. I know Sean was always a guy that was interested in going up if he could. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen, the cornerback situation. They were just not very good at all in the trenches. I think that, to me, then, you know, you're looking at potentially I think this is where the surprise comes. And I think that they take our guy from Washington, the tackle Fontenot. I think that's where the direction that they're going to go. They're going to surprise us a little bit with that pick over Guyton, Latham, guys like that. I think they're going with the Washington tackle. He's got some versatility to him, so I think that's the direction I'm going to go.
Man, when you said our guy out of Washington, I was like, oh, so Rome Odunze is going to be out there.
Nope.
Guess
I think that's
not
a good pick, especially with the Ryan Ramczyk news that we got. He might be out for the year.
Say his name again.
That guy's awesome. Ryan Ramczyk?
No, I know you're talking about. I'm
Troy Fontenot?
Fontenot.
Or Fontenot?
Fontenot.
No, yeah. I don't.
I'll tell you what, if the Colts are looking at Rome Odunze there at 15, they will throw a party.
They will
throw a party.
I've already written it in once it was there. I didn't even write the 14th pick. I just wouldn't have wrote it in. Rome Odunze is going to be the pick to the Colts at 15. Yeah. Wide receiver out of Washington, number three wide receiver on my board overall, 6'3", nearly 212 pounds, just a total playmaker. And if he's sitting there at pick 15, he's my number 8th overall ranked player. And so,
yeah, I mean, that's an absolute steal.
That's a huge
You're going to get
steal
some phone calls of other teams back
you will.
There like, hey, I'd like to go get some Rome Odunze right now, please.
Oh, yeah.
Really quick, if you see a run of receivers in this top 15, and most of these guys are off the board, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Brian Thomas Jr., maybe even if he gets in there, do not be surprised if the Colts do pull the trigger on Xavier Worthy.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I think Worthy will end up going ahead of A.D. Mitchell. Mitchell's another one of these guys. Maybe he could slide out.
Wow, you think Worthy will go quicker than
I do. I think the speed factor is going to bump him up. Now, I have Mitchell graded higher personally. I think he's a hell of a player, but I think these teams covet the speed. We've seen it time and time again. Henry Ruggs, it comes to mind, being the first receiver off the board, which was a surprise to us in that loaded receiver class with CD and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. I think this receiver class is so deep that maybe you don't have to get the receiver first.
Mm. Yeah, you really don't.
That you could get a guy with similar traits coming back around. That's why maybe this receiver room might stretch a little bit more with people like, oh, they want to take a receiver here. Then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, there's a guy like Worthy available here, you know, a little bit later. I mean,
we did talk about that a little bit last year, too, because it was deep at wide receiver last year, and we had to wait till pick
20.
This
is a quality group of guys. When you start to talk, we've all talked about Pearsall from Florida, Leggett, South Carolina, Roman Wilson, Michigan. I mean, there's a quality group of guys that could be easily second-round guys on a lot of people's boards.
All right, we got to take our first break. Three straight Washington offensive players go to pick 15, 13, 14, 15, Penix, Fontenot, Odunze. We'll reset the board and we'll get you ready for picks 16 through 23, leading you into the Cowboys pick. When we come back with more of the Draft Show right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Aisha Morris and Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris, Zach Wolchuk, I'm Kyle Yeomans. We are 15 picks down in our round one draft show mock draft. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, then Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Talisi Fuaga, Jared First, Dallas Turner, Olu Fashanu from Penn State is at 10. That's the top 10 picks. Then it goes J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., Troy Fatanu, and then Rome Odunze at 15. Leads us into the Seattle Seahawks. Aisha Morrison, you're on the clock.
Yes. So because I felt like Seattle is in need of tackle, because two of the guys that they like or have had some interest in are Fashanu and Fatanu. Have mercy on us. Since those guys are gone, I think that Cowboys former DC Adam Durde bangs on the table and says, hey, we need to be able to stop the run up the middle, and Byron Murphy gets a call.
Nice. I like that.
Good pick. Good pick.
That is a very good pick.
Him developing with Hankins would be really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Leonard Williams in there too.
Someone hurts a little bit. It just does. It just hurts a little bit.
It does, but I can see him. Sting. I can see him going up there and being like,
yeah.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
It's my show now. We're not going to play these grinder games. Let's stop.
We're stopping the run.
Yeah.
They've got some fun edge rushers, Boye Mafe's out there
on the
edge. They've got some fun guys that they can bring off the second level, too. If they have a stout interior defensive line with Jonathan Hankins and Daniel Murphy, or Byron Murphy there.
Yeah, their roster is sneaky good.
Seattle's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, go ahead, guys.
Jags at 17, Nick Harris.
Jags at 17. This is a – man, we're looking at these corners that have not gone off the board. And – you know, Jacksonville might go in a different direction if it doesn't fall that way. But since it is falling that way, and considering Byron Murphy just fell off the clock, that's probably a need that they would want. I think they just go ahead and grab the best corner in the draft, Quinion Mitchell.
Over Tyrion, huh?
Yeah, I'm a Quinion truther.
You feel that way, huh?
I'm a Quinion truther.
Toledo at 17.
Holy Toledo. Yep.
The fighting Barry Churches.
Let's go.
There you go. Quinion, why Quinion Mitchell? I just want to hear it.
Yeah, I think he's the most complete corner. Whenever you look at coverage ability and man zone, he can do it all. He can step up and defend the run. He does everything at an amenable level that you want at that position. I think he's a day one starter. I love Tyrion Arnold too. Mm-hmm. Like it's a 1A, 1B type situation for me. But I love Quinion's aggressiveness a little bit more and physicality a little bit more. And it doesn't lead to penalties. And I think there's a healthy balance that he finds there. I love what he does. I loved him at the Senior Bowl too. Everything that he's done since he's touched on a field, I have just enjoyed. It's hard to find a negative about
Mitchell's
Quinion Mitchell.
Ball skills remind me a little bit of Deron Bland.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They do.
That's a great point.
Yeah, he's got a little Bland in him.
He had three interceptions in a game. last season and returned two of them for a touchdown.
Yeah, Northern Illinois, I believe, is
yeah, sneaky.
Yep.
Yeah,
sneaky.
Yeah, you got to love the length of the player too, mm-hmm. and yeah. all that. You know, and Doug, they had a collapse last year. That team was 8-3 at one point and completely fell apart after that. They've got to figure out ways to get guys. They have a good roster. It's they need some tough guys, and Mitchell is that kind of player.
So he goes off the board, first corner off the board. What are you thinking at 18? Could it be another first for a singular position?
It could be. Offensive line is always in play with Cincinnati. When you guys got, like, you know, Latham's on the board, Mims is on the board. They did go ahead and bring in Trent Brown, former New England Patriot, at right tackle. This is just a pure fun pick here, but I don't know how you pass on him if you're Cincinnati. And Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia.
Mm.
If they're able, you know, nothing happens with T. Higgins. You have Bowers, Higgins, and Chase along with Joe Burrow. Look out. That is quite the offensive weaponry and arsenal there for the Bengals. Brock Bowers would be absolutely so much fun to watch with the Bengals next year.
Oh, man.
Quick correction, it was 4 interception game for Quinyon.
Four?
Yeah,
I thought so, yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
fix us.
Lame.
Yeah.
4.
Get a grip.
Goodness.
It's like Tuesday night in action, and he's just calling in just 4 interceptions.
Picking off every throw. All right. Rams are on the clock at 19 after Brock Bowers, first tight end off the board. Does that change anything for you, Brian?
No, the Rams are in a situation too. They lose one of the best defensive linemen in the league, maybe one of the best to ever play. They can use some edge. They can use a corner here. They could absolutely lose a linebacker. You know, they're still trying to add. They've added some veteran secondary guys with Darius Williams and with White coming over. He's been often injured, but I mean, I kind of feel like though that they can't pass on. They can't pass on who I think is the best corner in the draft, and that's Arnold from Alabama. The Rams take Arnold, cornerback, Alabama, for their pick.
That's a pin throw for me across the table for the Steelers on the next pick. Steelers did address, but I think Terrion Arnold's the best corner in the draft as well. I do love me some Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's great. I think Nate Wiggins is possibly a first-round talent out of Clemson as well. Not necessarily here, but Terrion Arnold is that guy. I think you're talking about just a high-caliber all-around corner. I was going to take him at 20. So this is going to pivot, and this one's going to be a pin throw for all of the Dallas Cowboys fans out there.
What are you doing?
They went out and they addressed their quarterback position. They went and got both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Those quarterbacks are off the board. You've got Broderick Jones, who was a first-round pick last year over at right tackle. But then you've got two undrafted guys on the interior. They're going to go ahead and take, at pick number 20, Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman, out of Duke, is the 20th pick to the Pittsburgh freaking Steelers.
I can't stand you right now.
I know. I blame Brian for taking the best corner in the draft, one pick beforehand.
Usually the Steelers are the team taking the pick before the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
They have a history of doing that, sometimes. But
here they go again.
Yeah, Grant Barton, though, that's a nice pick for them.
That'd be a Steeler type of pick.
If that's a pin throw for Dallas, that's a table throw for Miami.
Is it 21 coming up next?
Miami needs center. That center.
Hey. Yeah. Get out of my business.
See, and that's the thing, is they have an undrafted player at center in Nate Herbig, and then they've got a right guard that's an undrafted player as well. I mean, they've addressed it. Yeah, sounds like something's going on here. They've addressed it previously, made a couple of signings, but they don't feel confident on their interior, and they want to protect one of those guys, either Fields or Wilson. All right, on the board at pick number 21, the Miami Dolphins and Aisha Morrison on the clock.
Oh, it's going to be real easy for me. If Graham Barton is gone, the next center on the board is Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, and I think that the Dolphins go ahead and address that issue there.
Yeah.
Losing Wilkins is a big deal. I kind of thought maybe they would maybe feel some pressure to go DT early, but I'm not going to take other people's picks. But anyway, there we go. Real easy.
Set a table throw for the Eagles at 22 to replace Jason Kelce, Nick?
Potentially. I don't think it's a table throw. It's maybe a pin. But there's so many other needs, I think, for the Eagles makes sense at 22. Mm. I think they'd be okay with – I think they probably would still probably take a different player here. Is it my pick?
It is your pick.
Okay, then I still feel like they would go Cooper DeJean just to go ahead and grab a guy in the secondary. We saw that secondary last year and how much it really hurt them in that bad stretch that they had in the back of the season. Go ahead and bring in a guy who has not only experience, but he has special teams ability. I feel like they've been looking for that special teams guy as well. He could potentially play into that. Give me Cooper DeJean there at 22.
Okay.
Love that pick. He that's a great replacement for Avante Maddox, who they lost. A guy that, you know, could really be a versatile player, safety, slot, corner, what you want to do there. The return ability is also special with the Cooper DeJean.
So one more pick to go. We will then take our second break, and then we'll address the Cowboys at 24. But the Vikings, Zach Wilczek, you're on the clock at 23.
Yeah, this one's interesting here. They've got their quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who they took earlier. You look at some of the needs that they have right now. I think defensive line, interior offensive line, you could go edge. J.C. Latham's on the board. Do they want to kick him inside and play him at guard? I just kind of have a feeling, I don't know why, but how about Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois? Mm. I don't know that they would do this, but I just am going to go with my football gut here. They could use some interior defensive tackle help. Let's go with Johnny Newton, who I think might go a little bit higher than some of us think.
Is that what he's going by? Is he going by Johnny?
I've seen Johnny.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. Jerjan is what I was always.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's his real. That's his legal name.
I think that, I mean, if the Dolphins weren't so needy for center, and maybe the Dolphins think maybe they could find the center later, I think they might have taken Newton because when you look at the loss of Wilkins, you're looking for that temperament and a guy that can come in and play with violent hands. I think that he's a guy as well that maybe the Dolphins would be looking at the pick before.
Absolutely. I mean, he'd be a great replacement there. And that's a dude in Newton who the rare combination of power and speed that he's got, he's a special type of player.
I think Wiggins could have been in play here out of Clemson. This is a team that wasn't very good in the secondary last year. If you talk about, you know, if you look at metrics and coverage rankings and stuff like that, they were 24th in the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, helping with the interior, I think, helps the secondary. But they could have maybe looked at one of those corners there, too. But it's a deep position. Maybe they circle back.
There are some intriguing names on the board still as the Cowboys are now on the clock. At pick number 24, we're going to talk about the options. We're going to make the pick, and then we'll wrap things up on the draft show in our first round mock draft 2024 right after this.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you could depend on. We are in the middle of our first round mock draft 2024. We just finished picks 15 to 23. I'll run through them really quickly. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas at 16 to the Seahawks. Quinyon Mitchell goes to the Jags out of Toledo. Brock Bowers from Georgia, the tight end, goes to the Bengals at 18. The Rams take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama. Steelers take Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman from Duke. Jackson Powers Johnson goes a pick later out of Oregon. Same position to the Dolphins. The Eagles take Cooper DeGene, corner from Iowa. And then Johnny Newton, the interior defensive lineman out of Illinois, goes to the Vikings at 23. Brian Broaddus has the Dallas Cowboys selection at 24. Before you make the pick, I want to know what's going through your head seeing some of these names like J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
Still on the clock, or still on the board. You've got Latu from UCLA on the clock. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing options here.
I'm trying to figure out, though, if any one of these tackles is going to make me not want to move Tyler Smith. You know, is there anybody, and I'll ask the question to the group here as well, when you start to talk about, because I've got guys like Guyton, Latham, Mims. Those are my tackles that are sitting there. Is any one of those tackles, and by the way, if there's a, if, and I know we can't trade back, but we're in pretty good shape if we want to trade back here.
That'd be great.
This kind of, I think, falls the right way. You know, with Frazier being on the board, the center as well, we've lost a couple of centers along the way. But, you know, depending on what they think about Frazier, you've got the three tackles on the board. You could trade back off that. That's a possibility. You know, Latu is very interesting. I know, Aisha, we always talk about the edge and who's the edge. Is the medical going to be good enough to be able to consider him? But I'm just going to ask you guys, is there any one of these tackles that will get us not to move Tyler Smith that you see?
Look, Mims and Guyton, I think that they could take both. Now, I don't. I mean, I think Guyton's a second rouner, but at this point in the draft, maybe they like him. I mean, look, we've talked about it. They evaluate
how many
tackle.
Names. I mean, we've all got 22, 23 names, first round grades.
So, I mean,
that's where we're at right now.
I think Latham's the best of the tackles.
He's my left first round, now. Last first round tackle.
But the problem is, I think he's a right side tackle. Now he could kick into guard if you want, and then maybe you can move Tyler over to tackle, and you feel pretty damn good about. Guards. I mean, there might be people that think that he could be an all-pro guard, but it's tough to pass on Latham. Maybe they think that he could play on the left side.
I don't know, y'all. It might be being biased, but Alabama tackles scare me.
Mm.
And I don't know what it is about them. It just seems like the last couple that we've seen get drafted have fantastic collegiate careers, and then they come into the NFL and they've struggled. So And I don't know if that's a development thing. I don't know, whatever the case may be. You know, maybe it's just a program. But I have biases. I got to get it out of it. My bad.
If you looked up and down your sheet, first round grades, who do you have?
I have Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU.
Okay.
Guyton. And then I have Latham, Alabama there. And Latu and Wiggins. And then Newbin, the safety from Minnesota.
So you've got five choices first round.
Yeah, I've got some choices there, but I'm trying to determine, like I said, is there enough of these? You know, I know I need a center. I'm trying to figure out the tackle I draft is probably going to keep Tyler Smith at left guard.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out the best one, and I wonder what their room would say. I wonder if their room likes Mims better than Guyton, better than Latham. You know, that's what I'm trying to make the pick. Maybe not so much for me,
sure,
but what they might do.
So what would you just go guard?
I would take Guyton myself.
You would take Guyton.
I would take Guyton.
Okay. I'm with you. I think they would lean Guyton.
Mims scares me. Mims scares me. And like I talked with scout in the league, a guy I trust, and he says I don't see Latham as a left tackle. He goes, I see him. He could play right tackle. And he might be an all-pro guard.
Yeah, he's right.
I've said that before.
So could you put Tyler Smith out the left tackle, and then he's your guard of the future?
Yeah, because how many of the tackles are better than that's a good point, though, is looking at how many of the tackles are going to be better than Tyler Smith at tackle right now.
Yeah.
Not that many of them, really.
Yeah. Sure. And if you want to win now, you could put Tyler Smith out the left tackle. You could put J.C. Latham as your left guard, and you can roll with that duo in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you feel like that's the fit for Latham.
Yeah.
I think Guyton could get jiggy there.
How long long arms, the athleticism.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traits that I could see them liking about Guyton.
Yeah, this one's interesting. I think
you got to take Latu.
Latu would be my best player.
I know a couple of people who would, but I like the idea of Latham inside at guard and kicking
Tyler
out in this situation. Mm-hmm. If I'm here, I'm trading back. I think.
Sure. I think you're in good shape if you want to dance that way.
Would everybody trade back? I know I would. In this
with the names that are currently on the board, yes.
How far?
You could probably go down. If we talked about Buffalo at 28, mm-hmm. I mean, you could probably go four spots if you want.
Yeah,
you know. So, and depending on how much you like Frazier, the center, you can maybe even go all the way down
further.
Baltimore at 30,
no
if
doubt.
You want.
Yeah,
and pick up that late three that we were all kind of looking at.
What's your pick, Brian?
For the Dallas Cowboys, I think they're going to take Guyton, and I think they're going to think they're Guyton, and they're going to sell it as this is Flozell Adams. To Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I think they're going
to do. Mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I think they're going to do.
Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of
Oklahoma.
In
the room, are we – that's why I kind of put it up to you guys, too.
I'm okay with it.
I could I'm all right with it.
Can I bring up a name that didn't get brought up was Jordan Morgan, which I think is
– Morgan would be in the guard conversation, I think, for them.
But that's why I said, do they just take a – at that point, if you look down at the tackles and ain't none of them better than Tyler, do you just take a guard? Just take the best guard? Because a guard hasn't gotten taken besides – who was that?
Barton. Really?
Yeah.
Barton and
there
that's
hasn't
about
even
it.
Been a guard taken, so.
No, there hadn't been. If you talk about BB and Christian Mahogany and guys like that, I mean, those, but
do you feel like that could stretch to 50s, to the 50s in your next pick?
Absolutely.
I think it could,
I think BB could be there. Christian Haynes, I wonder where he's going to go.
Yeah.
And with Morgan and Mims and Latham still on the board, pitter-pattering around down the back half of the first round, if you wanted to wait until 56 and make that selection in the second round, you may have some offensive interior guys there too.
I know we're just mocking and it is what it is, but I do think it's a lot of teams are thinking about trading and things like that in this draft.
Definitely.
So there's going to be some opportunity there to get some good value.
The way this fell for us, looking at it, I'm cool. We could back out of this thing. If we could get a deal that we could pick up an extra three or four, I'm cool with backing out of this thing.
Yeah.
But if I had to think what me personally, I have questions about Mims. I think Morgan in their eyes is a guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Latham might be a guard in their eyes too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an option. If you want to kick Tyler and put Latham in there, man, I have no problem with that. But if you want to just go for a tackle, I'm taking Guyton in this situation. Because I think he could play left tackle. I'm not sure Latham can. Mims, he just not enough games, but I might be way wrong about that.
I know.
That.
Mims, the upside on him.
You guys tell me about floors and ceilings all the time.
I know. The upside on Mims has me really excited about him, but I think you're right about Guyton.
Well,
I think they'd lean there.
I will say the team after the Dallas Cowboys at pick number 25, they need a left tackle and they need a true left tackle. Because of the same questions on Jordan Morgan and with J.C. Latham, they're going to take Amarius Mims at pick number 25 in this mock draft. So Mims will go to the Packers at 25. So you may have had him in the conversation, but they need a true left tackle because right now they're working with a
seventh round. Just real quick, circle back, though. As a group, we're okay with Guyton then, right?
Yeah.
We're okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mims off the board at 25. The Buccaneers and Aisha, you're on the clock at 26.
Baby, they need edge. And even though they maybe dance with the idea of getting a Latu, I think, again, the medical stuff is a little concerning. I think they go Chop Robinson, Penn State edge.
I like that.
Man, Chop Robinson.
He's fun.
The get-off that he has, just the firing off the ball, the quick twitchness that he has.
That's
Chop Robinson
right there. Really
is a fantastic player. The finishing is something he needs to work on a little bit. There's times where he will completely blow up a play, and then he just doesn't make the sack or make the tackle. But Chop Robinson can be really, really special.
Yeah. All right, Cardinals on the clock at 27, Nick.
Yeah, this is another interesting one. Cardinals getting their second pick in the first round. I think they can put a cornerstone on offense in Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think they can circle back and get a really big-time cornerstone on defense in Latu Latu. Mm. So we're going to go ahead and take Latu off the board here.
Especially with having the two picks, they can take the take the risk, I guess, with Latu.
So Latu, back-to-back edges after back-to-back offensive tackles.
Couldn't make a case for four straight edges.
Yeah.
Yep.
Five, honestly.
Yeah, but you really could. Yep. Bills need that as well. What are you thinking, Zach?
Yeah, the Bills are an interesting team here. They've lost a lot in free agency with Gabe Davis, Leonard Floyd, Tre'Davious White. I think Nate Wiggins could be an interesting pick for them here. I'm going to go with an interesting name, though. And I think he'd be a lot of fun with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and they could use some weapons.
No way.
Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia.
Over Brian Thomas Jr.?
Yes.
Over Xavier Worthy?
Yes.
Wow.
Ladd McConkey, the route running, the hands.
I'm going to remember this.
The returnability.
I hope it happens.
Buffalo Bills go with Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, who I think is higher on people's boards than we believe.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong. I think you're flat out wrong. Okay. There are so many better wide receivers.
No, but the higher on boards.
No, that's fair. Yeah. But I just think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you want to go with Brian Thomas Jr., go for it. But
would you take McConkey over Thomas Jr.?
Yes. I would. I'm not as big on Thomas Jr.
See, I would take both Thomas Jr. and Troy Franklin from Oregon over Ladd McConkey.
I like Troy Franklin. I do. I'd take A.D. Mitchell over both those guys, but I don't know if the Bills would.
Actually. That's a fun one. There's going to be a pick like that in the first round.
Oh, no,
we're
going to
look at each other
every
and be like,
year.
What is going on?
Every
we're
year.
Down. We're looking at second round guys.
I try and make it interesting.
Right now. Yeah.
I like it. It's a little wrinkle. Brian, you're on the clock with the Lions at 29.
And the Detroit Lions, not used to picking way down here like this, but they could use a safety. They could use a wide receiver. They can use interior offensive line help. They're another one of those teams that didn't cover particularly well. Their corners struggled a little bit. Their safety play, though, was pretty solid. Carlton Davis, they traded for Amik Robinson, guys like that. They've tried to get those guys. I think right here, I think this is where Wiggins from Clemson goes. The very talented. He's a slightly built guy, we all know, but he's got that ability to play off coverage. He's quick. He's competitive. When you put them up in man, I just think the value for them to probably get the third best corner at this particular time in the draft makes so much sense. I think they could have gone Brian Thomas, too, and that would have helped them. But I think Wiggins from Clemson, the corner, will be the pick here.
I think one of their corners got caught slipping, too, this offseason.
Yeah, they just had to release
him. Yeah, they did.
And he was a big part of what they did to add on to the need for corner
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
As is what the Ravens are probably about to do.
You talk about ball skills, too. Wiggins has that.
Yeah, Wiggins has that. And the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Ravens are on the clock at 30. Have you guys ever seen, like, the Elmo meme where there's, like, flames in the background and it's the Ravens?
Please. Yeah.
That's exactly what they are to me. I feel like every time they make a pick, it's like, ha, ha, ha.
It is kind of like that.
Chaos.
I know where you're going.
They went ahead and took Derrick Henry off of the free agency market. He's at running back. Him and Lamar Jackson, fun little read option. They've taken a wide receiver in the first round with Rashad Bateman in 21, Say Flowers last year. Yeah. So they have some speed. They have some size. They could really go over the top with the speed if they wanted to go with one Xavier Worthy at 30.
Thomas Jr. slippage now, is going to drive me insane.
They would not take a receiver here.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Ravens would do that, but it would be the chaos that they would do. I think they're going to go
great
defensive line.
Great players fall to them all the time.
I think they're going to go to the defensive line and add some beef. So the pick at 30 is Tavondre Sweat out of Texas.
Oh, wow.
They need somebody.
That was a roller coaster.
I wanted to go up and down.
Emotionally, I was.
Justin Matabike has done great things at the three technique for them. He earned a huge payday this past offseason. They need a true nose tackle. They don't really have one in the middle, and that's what Tavondre Sweat brings at 6'4", 360-plus pounds. He is just a meat eater in the interior of that defensive line. I think they're going to beef up the defensive line because their offense already has a blend of speed and size. I think the crazy out-of-the-world pick would be Xavier Worthy or Thomas, but I'm going with Tavondre.
Okay, Latham's still there, though, right?
He is.
Yeah.
You got Thomas.
They would take J.C. Latham. I'm pretty damn sure that that would be their pick here. They love Alabama guys. Mm. They need offensive line help. I think J.C. Latham would be their guy. But I do love the addition of Tavondre Sweat there. A big body. Keep your
Texas is now in the SEC, so it's
I mean, yeah,
it's
same thing. I don't dislike the pick. I just think if Latham's there at 30, but that's just a perfect
pick. Do they think
pick.
Of him as a guard or a tackle?
They
would probably need both.
Yeah.
So that's
they
fair.
They could go either way.
Yeah. Ronnie Stanley's their starting left tackle. So.
It hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can keep...
They got Voorhees, who's played well the last couple years at guard.
That's a guy that's probably going to surprise
people. Tyler Linderbaum's a badass at center. Ben Cleveland's been good at right guard.
But I think they lost one of their offensive linemen in free agency.
He's a right tackle, I believe, right?
Yeah. And John Simpson, their guard, left. Mm-hmm. So they could use a line. And Morgan Moses is who they lost at offensive tackle.
There you go. So, yeah, they could very well take Mr. Latham.
But T-Sweat would be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to put T-Sweat there. 31, Aisha, you're on the clock.
So the 49ers, they lost a couple people. I think that, you know what's sad, y'all? I don't like the 49ers so bad. I couldn't write out their full name in this. It just say 49ers, like the number. I didn't even write out San Fran. That's the disdain I have for these people. Anyway, if I'm not mistaken, they've lost some guys on the defensive line. But I know part of me... I think Kingsley
Suamataya.
Thank you. Kingsley Suamataya is someone that they have had. They are going to have a 30 visit with from BYU. But I think they go Braden Fisk, DT.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Dang it.
Another roller coaster with ending with a defensive tackle.
Add
I like
it. Fisk. Add some attitude to that defensive line.
That's a good pick.
I would hate that.
Nasty with a lot of speed.
That's a good pick.
I'd be very upset if that happened.
I thought you were just going to throw out a name at the end here that was just like down at the bottom of your list just to give them to the 49ers.
He's just put on too much of a good offseason this time, combine all this stuff. This is a first round
He's
pick,
awesome.
Y'all. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's really, really good.
So, cool.
Last pick of the first round, 32, the Kansas City Chiefs, who have picked
here
a couple
Brian
times.
I'm getting Brian Thomas Jr. off the damn
You're doing
board.
It?
Damn.
Wow, they would throw a party. Yeah, you're talking about them throwing a party, needing a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason I would go with him over Xavier Worthy, because I think Xavier Worthy makes so much sense for the Kansas City Chiefs, is a little bit better durability. I think there's some durability concerns with Xavier Worthy in talking to people. And just looking at the last two seasons, dealt with a broken hand in his sophomore year that drastically affected his play. You look at his junior season, he was taken out of games 2, 3, 4 times during the year. And I think the argument to have over A.D. Mitchell for Brian Thomas Jr. is the route tree. I think Brian Thomas Jr. brings a little bit more to that. So that's why I would take him over the Texas guys. But, man, you'd be looking at day two with J.C. Latham on the board.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. The receivers that we just talked about,
it's very possible,
it would be
too.
Wild.
A lot of receivers.
Every running back, every safety,
all the linebackers.
You've got all those wide receivers, the Coleman, Mitchell, Corley, Worthy. There's quite a group. The two runners are on the board. They've got edges left on the board. We haven't even touched a linebacker yet.
Cooper, and Frazier.
And then you're looking down now with those corners. You know, with Tampa from Iowa State, McKistry from Alabama, Lasser from Georgia. You know, there's some guys there, and again, all these safeties there as well.
All the safe, Darius Robinson from Mizzou at end.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good players.
Second day is going to be a lot of fun.
It will be, and whenever you get to sleep on the board a little bit and you look at it, they're going to know exactly what they're looking forward to from 56 all the way up to that 33 pick. See what's going on. All right, that does it for us in our 2024 first round mock draft. The Dallas Cowboys finish off with Tyler Guyton, offensive lineman from Oklahoma. He's your left tackle of the future, is what it seems in this pick. And then some craziness ensues outside of that and after that as well. That was fun.
It was fun.
That was cool.
Great job, guys.
We'll do the second round tomorrow. Hope you guys can make it. We'll go all the way through it.
Spare us.
Go back. We'll do rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow, and then we'll do the other 4 on Saturday. It'll be fun. For Aisha Morrison, Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris, Zach Wolchuk, Chris Beam in the back, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long for the draft show. We will see you on Tuesday.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?